This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Water Level, the title track off a new CD by a local jazz ensemble. Hear the violin here. And the drums. And a couple double basses. The group plays as if they've been together for a long time. The musicians know each other's impulses and moods intimately, like family, to the point where it's almost like the alto sax is completing the violin sentences.
People have made comments from a few people who have heard the album that we actually sound at times like we're inside each other's sound.
That's violinist Marissa Licata.
I think that just comes from knowing each other so well.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yes, I've known this man a long time.
How long? Practically her whole life. The saxophonist is Marissa's father, Charles Licata. Marissa, you were adopted?
Yes, I was adopted about 4 or 5 months old.
2 months.
Really? 2 months, okay.
we had a little birthday cake in Honduras with a little candle, two little candles. She was 2 months old.
While Water Level is the first CD they've recorded together, it was Charles who introduced Marissa to music not long after bringing her home from Honduras. When she was 3, he put a violin in her hands. And by the time she hit high school, it was pretty obvious that Marissa was something special.
And she was going to do a Mozart concerto. And I forgot the music. And
The sheet music?
The sheet music. Okay. I forgot it. Totally forgot it. I said, Marissa, you think you can play it? And she nodded to me. Yeah, I'll play it. The music director next to me, he said, the girl's got ice in her veins.
Marissa's kept her cool even as her career has gotten hotter and hotter. The New England Conservatory graduate has commanded the attention of Alicia Keys, members of the Fugees, and the Eurythmics. And as I discovered as we talked, Marissa's the real story here, and Charles seems proud to be outshone by his superstar daughter.
When Marissa plays, people listen to it.
Well, how would you describe what your sound is that people are so attracted to?
It's almost like I'm playing into the instrument. I'm playing into the core of the sound. I'm not just making a tone. You know, I just want there to be a lot of heart in my sound. I guess it brings people in, and it's sort of more of a sense of sharing than it is I'm performing for you.
Well, you do have your violin here, and it's such a tease just lying there on the table. So why don't you play something else for us?
Okay. It's a piece called, it's been named Marone. I don't know that that's the technical name for it. It's actually it's a very old Eastern European melody. And I actually learned it off a recording of some rabbis singing it around a table. So, but this is my version, and this is Marone.
That was phenomenal.
Go play.
Sorry, I got to catch my breath just listening. That was Marissa Licata playing Marone.
live in our studios here at Radio Boston. Really phenomenal.
Thank you.
And you learned it off watching a video.
I learned off actually listening to an old tape recording.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think another thing that obviously draws a lot of people into your music is your spectacular repertoire. You know, the violin, strictly speaking, is a classical instrument, but what you play is so far beyond that. At what point in time in your musical education did you decide there's more that you could do with this instrument than, you know, just playing Mozart?
I was about 17, 18, and I was doing a lot of really, you know, high-end international competitions and...
And winning. I might add.
And I was doing really well, and I was at
This is when you were at New England Conservatory.
New England Conservatory, yeah, in the prep school, actually. Okay. Toward the end of that time, I became aware that this instrument is just so versatile, and actually that it didn't originate here. It originated in a lot of folk musics, and you know, the term fiddling around, just sort of like playing around. Anyone could do it, and I really liked that aspect of the instrument, and I enjoyed that, and I wanted to do it all.
So I'm so glad your dad is here, because while you're wonderfully straightforward, you're also awfully humble, he's your celebratory chorus here.
No,
let's talk about like what we mean when we say that your repertoire is so varied. You've performed with Alicia Keys, mm-hmm. Ben Harper, mm-hmm. Jethro Tull,
yeah. Gloria Estefan,
The Eurythmics, Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. And, one of my favorites, the 2010 remix of Ghetto Superstar.
Ghetto Superstar, that is what you are. Coming from afar, reaching for the stars.
You actually performed all the string parts for that?
Yeah, I did. It actually ended up being a really random sort of connection. I was working out of one of Alicia Keys' studios, and Praz from Fugees happened to stumble in, really. And he had some friends there. He was saying hi. He wanted to do a track. He was remaking the Ghetto Superstar with an all-star cast of people. And yes, I did the string parts. I arranged them and then dubbed over myself in the studio. And it sounds really good.
I can live without you if the love was gone. Everything means nothing if you got no one and you walked into the night.
I have a couple questions to wrap up kind of on this point, about your relationship as father and daughter and musicians. Because as you said near the top of our interview, that Marissa was just 2 months old when you adopted her from Honduras?
Honduras, yes.
And you've been back to Honduras since then.
Yes, I have.
You performed.
Performed Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto when I was 18, and it was a really big deal because that had never been done before. I came to find out after the fact.
Have you ever met your birth family?
I have not. No, I have not. And my father and I, we tried. We tried really hard to find any sort of link to my family, whether it be a sister, brother, mother.
No. Well, in fact, on that trip, right? You searched for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, on that trip when I wasn't in rehearsals for the concert.
Lawyers and all sorts of things.
Yeah, we went through a lot of different investigations, only to find out that basically it's impossible because anybody from my birth family.
Well, I mean, basically what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there may be some evidence that, I don't know how to say this, just being direct, that your adoption may have been illegal?
Oh.
The process was
scandalous. People went to jail.
You know, I won't say that I didn't have feelings about it, but I wasn't hurt by it at all. I felt bad because you know, my mother, whoever she is, what situation she must have had to be in, and a number, you know, thousands of young girls, you know, to make some money, this is what they had to do, and then give up their child, you know. So I feel bad for that, and I feel, I know she was a good person, so people do what they have to do. But to me, nothing from this could hurt me. You know, this is my father. This was going to be my father and you know, my mother, too. They were going to be my parents no matter what.
Well, Marissa Licata, thank you so much. It's been so great talking to you.
Great talking to you, too.
And Charles Licata, thank you as well for coming in and sharing your story and the story of your daughter.
It was a pleasure.
Marissa Licata will perform with her father, Charles Licata, and other members of the band at Sculler's Jazz Club in Boston on January 31st. There's a lot more information about them at our website, radioboston.org.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, safe sex. Is it easier said than done? We'll take a closer look in tomorrow's Common Health segment.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.